What was it interesting? I'll put you on the spot.
That's okay. The Lord blessed me with being able to take care of my two nieces. Mm-hmm. Like my sister that passed away.
Right.
Her girls were born and they were moved to
a new city,
and Jesse and Mama were watching them, and they get to come to church.
And at the same point, how does it make you feel that you're taking care of somebody? It makes you also feel important. How about that? You have a say in someone's life. But how much younger does it make you feel? Oh, you still have energy. As we're talking, this lesson is how to love one another. And when you stop and you think, we worry and we focus on our concerns so bad that we lose sight. I told you last week, you know, whenever something is bad, the only way you can give up on somebody is to answer one question. Have they drove the thorns on your head? Have they stripped you of your garments, flogged you, nailed you to a cross, pierced your side? When they do that, then I think you meet the criteria where you can abandon somebody at that point. There's always a silver lining in everything. God uses us. And as we're going through the lesson, to sort of catch y'all up, in case you missed, we talked about the timeline, the Gospel of John. In the first 12 chapters of John, we talk about Jesus' earthly ministry. Chapters 12 through 19 only talks about the last 24 hours of Jesus' life. Then the events, we talked about what the Passover was. We talked about Jesus washing the disciples' feet. And then last was the Last Supper was instituted. We talked about the proclamation of Christ, His death, His deity, the exhortation to the church, the command to love. That's where we were last week, the command to love, and we talked about it was authoritative. I'm sort of a history buff. I like looking at history, and there's an article on TV. I had to stay up and watch it. It's talking about the Holocaust, and it talked about the death camps. And when they were capturing the people from Poland, carrying them in, and they were carrying them into the gas chambers, some of the things, the atrocities these people faced. As they're interviewing this one person, it struck me how he cared for another fellow Jew. And these were two young boys, and what would happen when the train cars would drive up and they would hoard the Jews out of the train car onto the decking, they were given string to tie their shoes together. This string meant something where you were going into the gas chambers and what you were doing. The Jews had no idea. And this one little boy reached out the string and handed it to another one and said, tie this on and tell them you're a construction worker. By telling them he was a construction worker, he would not be killed. What did that one little boy risk by saying that? His life. On your way coming today and thinking about that, that's pretty amazing. A child would give up his own life for another person's. When you stop and you think, and I'll pick on Miss Trish, as she was talking about this week, how much of a sacrifice is that time, that energy, just to be with those two kids? But you enjoy it. And it makes you feel good. You can actually see a glow come in her face. You can see when it's truly love in our heart. When you stop and you think, Christ was getting ready to go to the cross. He knew in just a few short hours some of the atrocities he would go through. I mean, it's amazing that he took that time to wash the disciples' feet. When you stop and you think, if I ask you, what would you want to say as your last breath on earth before you go meet the Creator, what would it be? It puts a lot in perspective. Jesus took that time to be humble. When he could have said, wait a minute, disciples, now you're getting ready to see everything. In the next few hours, this, da, 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 and laid it all out. He could have easily have done that. Why didn't he? Would they have fully understand that sacrifice? When you stop and you think, when you were courting, I mean, it's really amazing the emotions that go through you. And sometimes what catches our eye of that one person? How do we know that's the special person for us? How do you know? Miss Gail, how did you know Nurse Bobby was the perfect person? All right, that's after you were courting. What made you decide to even talk with him?
Because my sisters had met him.
Okay. But still, why would you have even dropped your guard? You didn't know him. Your sisters did. He was friendly. Okay. When you stop and you think, Miss Rochelle, why did you choose Mr. Don? Your aunt had met him. So why didn't your aunt marry him? Now wait a minute, we're doing arranged marriages here? But there was something about him. The friendship, the openness. Miss G, why'd you choose Mr. Wade? Look, he knew that was coming. I could see him shaking his head. He was a Christian. Is that it? There was a bunch more Christian men here. Now, come on. Why did you choose Mr. Cartwright? He chose you. I don't know. As dedicated as y'all have been for each other, I think that can go either way. How did you choose Mr. Travis? You didn't? He just forced you into marriage and you just hung on. The IRS. When you stop and you think, there was something that we saw in them. They demonstrated that called our attention to detail, their openness, how they made us feel. See, Stacy, as I told y'all before, I think I did, she just couldn't outrun me. You know, the rest of her sisters, everybody else could, so she got stuck. But when you stop and you think, the demonstration of love, how important is that? Why do you think it's important to demonstrate the love? Jesus very easily could have said, hey, how are you going to win someone to Christ? Just like Miss Jill said, and I was joking with her, not all churches, not everyone in the church are Christians. We all grow at different levels. We're on different rungs. So, and it's not just like a ladder going up. Sometimes you'll be going up, but in order to hit the next level, you've got to turn and go down to come back up. You know, it's the sacrificial. What are you willing to give up? I remember growing up, my family was not very rich. There was an ice cream place outside of the county. So if you wanted any ice cream, you had to go all the way to the neighboring county to Tasty Freeze. That was back when that was the major chain. And I remember as a little kid, we would go and get a sundae. When you got the sundae, I mean, it's actually only about the size of a cup. With Dad and Mom, when we would get there, us kids shared one. And Mom and Dad would share. And I never got it in my mind. And I remember young telling Dad, look, I can eat a banana split. And Dad, he was telling me, no, that's not what you need. I weren't understanding. The reason he was telling me that, they couldn't afford it. But my dad, wanting to do something special for me, decided he wouldn't get any. He weren't hungry. And I can remember sitting there eating it. It was so good. And all of a sudden, I couldn't finish it. When I got older, I stopped my think about the sacrifices. Why did my dad do that? Why? Because he loved me. I was special to him. Stop and think, when you were dating, there were certain things that you would do because you loved them and you wanted it to be special. Be it holding hands. Every week when I was in college, Miss Stacy would send me a letter. I still have them in a binder where I can stop and reflect on it. She was willing to sacrifice her time. It meant something. When you go to 1 John 3:16, what does that verse say? The what, Miss Jill? For God so loved the world. The what, Miss Don? Yeah, it's 1 John 3:16. What is it? Yeah, that was just John. Go ahead, Merston. What does 1 John 3:16 say? Okay. When you stop and you think, you got it, Miss Trish? 1 John 3:16. All right, go ahead and finish it. So real quick, he laid down his life. As an article in the book, Under the Rule, Oliver Cromwell, Lord Protector of England, during the 17th century. That was some pretty dark times during England's history. Well, anyhow, a soldier had violated some rules. And any of y'all who have been around the military is very rigid. If you break the rules, there's a consequence. There's no get out of it free. Am I wrong, Miss Jew? If you violate an order, here's to happen. This soldier was sentenced to death. They said that it would be ringing at the evening curfew when the bell tolled for all of the citizens to be within the gate. When that bell tolled, the soldier would be put to death. There's no getting around it. Evening come, everybody stood around waiting for the execution, and the bell never tolled. It never rang. The Lord called out, hey, what's going on? The curfew bell is not tolled. Why not? So they went to the bell. When they did, they found the fiance of the soldier. She had climbed all the way to the top of the tower and wrapped herself around that clapper where it would not toll. And they pulled on the ropes and they pulled, ramming her into the side of the bell. Her head hitting, her hands banging. She was injured. They brought her down and they wanted to know, why did you do this? When she explained that this soldier was her lover, she cared for him. She was willing to sacrifice. Lord Cromwell was moved so much that he released the soldier and said, look, because of what your lover did for you, you are spared. When you stop and you think, Jesus went to a cross for us. He let someone nail him, driving nails in his hand, desecrating, was brutal to him. That's how much he loved us. But yet we can't love someone. We can't spend time. You know, how easy could he have just walked away and said, forget him? But he didn't. And that's why when we show love and he gave us the command to love, we even feel better. Because we know who is working through us. We know that God is working through us. He's not finished with us. When you stop and you think, why do you think our elderly have so many health issues? A lot of people say, well, their bodies are failing. No, it's because Satan doesn't want them to be able to help somebody. He's trying to get them out of the way. When you stop and you look at the elderly people in this church, they're loving, they're caring, they'll do anything for you. But God or Satan wants to move them away. Are we going to let that happen? No. We need to reach out and hold on to them. When you stop and you think, love is more than just a feeling. That's why each and every one who are not here, we had prayer requests for them. We care for them. We love them. And it's not just a physical love. There's so much more to it. We have the world viewed all wrong. There's a young man, he was sitting down having breakfast with his father, and he said, Dad, I finally found the right person. I'm getting ready to get married. His dad was like, oh, really? You know, we need to discuss this. We need to meet this young lady. How did you come up or diagnose that you're ready for marriage and she's the right one for you? She said, Dad, I carried her home last night as I was walking up to her house, you know, doing the proper thing. She went in her house. Her dog ran out and bit me. Dad goes, now, wait a minute. How did that work that dog biting you showed you she was the one to marry? He said, Dad, I didn't feel it until I got home. You know, it didn't matter. I can tell you when me and Miss Stacy got married, I can describe her lips when we were married, how they felt. The quivering, she was so nervous they were vibrating even. She was that nervous. It was sweet. I remember that much. That's how special she is to me. That is nothing compared to how much God loves me. How much He cares. How much He's willing to sacrifice. I mean, are we going to be obedient? If you follow the greatest commandment, how can you break any of the others? Is it possible? That's why it's the greatest commandment. At the same point, when we have a proper focus on who God is, when you stop and you think about loved ones, they were righteous. When you hear Miss Jill talk, why was it important to marry a Christian? Because you want to be equally yoked. So we can go together on this journey. We can help support each other. At the same point, if we're equally yoked, she's going to do what she can to keep me from sinning. I'm going to do what I can to help her. And we're going to keep the ship upright. When I fall and I have a bad day and I come in, I'll never forget when I worked homicide and child cases, I had some really bad days. But I promise you, when I got home and my son would run up and hug me, it meant everything. It was unconditional love. When you think you're having a bad day and it's scary, all you got to remember is who is still on the throne. Our God is not dead. He is alive. You see every day the things He does for us, the miracles He keeps performing. How many times, you know, Merston, you drive truck. How many serious wrecks have you been diverted from and you don't even know about it because God loves you? Is it not amazing? But yet we walk around with our head down. Why? Look, you got an awesome wife who will take care of you. She can feed you. She cooks good. You got it made. You've got a church that loves and cares for you. If you're not here, they're praying for you. If you need a meal, they're carrying it to you. They love you. What is to feel defeated? Nothing. We walk around with our head down. We should have it up. What else can the world throw at us? We're ready for anything. As long as God loves us and we love God. But why do we mope? Why are we worried about election? We're so scared. Let's see who can count. Guess what? You remember years ago, Floridians couldn't count. Now it's just spread. Why are we worried about it? In John 8, verses 10 through 11, it said, when Jesus had lifted up himself and saw none but the woman, he said unto her, woman, where are those thine accusers? Hath no man condemned thee? She said, no man, Lord. And Jesus said unto her, neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more. What was this story? This was the lady who was condemned to death for her sins. And Jesus stepped in and said, look, he who hath not sinned, cast the first stone. He loves you. He doesn't like your sin. But he is our intercessor. Why do we stand, though, we're going to condemn somebody? How much have we spent time this week helping others? When you help somebody, how can you feel bad? If you're scared of this pandemic, if you're scared of what's going on in the government, go help somebody. It changes your focus. If you're about to die, but yet you work like you're living, guess what? There's so much more to go and do. We've got to change our perception on everything. Because I got a question, what happens when you die? You go where? To heaven. That's when the journey is just really beginning. We're only halfway there. This is just the precursor on how life is going to be. Ain't that amazing? How about constantly? God's love isn't part-time, off and on. It's not on a switch where I can flip it. He will constantly love you no matter what. No matter what you do. No matter how bad you mess up. No matter how deep I put my foot in my mouth, He still loves me. Because what does it say in Romans 8, verse 38 through 39? For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. When you stop and think, He knows everything you've done in your entire life, Miss Trish. Everything. Mr. Jesse, He knows everything you've done. Each and every one of us. But guess what? He loves us. We didn't have to do nothing special. He chose you. Just like when you stop and you think, when you heard some of the ladies, oh, He got me. He made a very awesome choice. I can promise you. But why we got to be fair-haired children? Oh, it's not going our way. It's not for our way. When you were when your daughter was younger, Merston, you'd done anything for her. You still would. There's times, yeah, that's not how mom and dad would have done it. But guess what? She's still your daughter. You love her so much that her children you love. You'll do anything for them. And if you don't believe me, when he brings them to church, watch how they just lead him around. Miss Gail, tell me I'm wrong. When grand youngins come, love is contagious. But why do we want to smother it? Why do we want to put restrictions? Well, he crossed me. He sat in my pew. Go sit with him. He parked in my parking spot. Well, guess what? Get here ahead of him. When you stop and you think, the love should motivate us. It should push us to do more. You're still here. He hasn't called us home yet. There's still a fight. You don't give up in the last couple of seconds of the round. You push harder. You got to turn loose at the edge of the pool and you've got to swim. The race is on. How are we going to go? The identification of love. How did you know that your significant other loved you? How did you know it? I remember, I've got a letter from Miss Stacy. It says, if you love me, mark yes. If not, keep the letter. You know, she didn't want it back. How do you know love? Describe love to me. If I had to put you on the spot, how can you describe love? Now tell me, how is love? So why do we hold back? Why do we want to be greedy with God's love? Why? I promise you, when me and Brother Jim and Christian, we went to on that weekend getaway almost, how did you feel? We were upset to leave. I remember in Baltimore, you remember how long did we stay in that airport waiting to come back to Norfolk? It was a long time. People were frustrated. They were at their wit's end. Bro Jim, why, it was like early in the morning. Bro Jim's still on fire. Let's go. When we went into Juarez, well, we were on top of the bus, hanging out the window, singing. We did not care. Call us stupid Americans, whatever you want. We didn't care. You could see how much we wanted to help. When you love God, you can't help but love His creations. And people can see that shine through you. They can see it's not conditional. When people have their service, they understand that there's an outward testimony. In 1 John chapter 3, verse 17 through 18, it says, "But whosoever hath this world's good and seeth his brother have need and shutteth up his bowels of compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him? My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth." There was a farmer, when I was younger, he would raise crops and he would just give them away. Just like Mercer Wade does with corn and all. Why does he do it? That costs money to run the tractors, to till the ground. The seed, the fertilizer. And most of the time when people plant stuff like that, they try and not use herbicide and pesticide because they want the best. How much money and time, sweat, tears were put into that just so he can give it away? So many times we overlook that. At how much people care to look down the road. When you look at teachers in this church, how long does it take to read, study, review notes, to come and be prepared to teach? How about playing the piano? Miss Kathy just wakes up, yep, we're going to have this song, thanks. And she just takes off, right? There's a lot of planning. When the choir sings, it's work, it's effort. But you know why we do it? Because one day we will stand before the great Almighty. And we want to hear, not... We know where we're going to be. But we want to see more of our friends there. We want to see people we've had relationships with, contacts with. We want to carry them. And isn't it amazing? When you've helped somebody and you don't say a word and you just sit back and go, hey. You, just like the story I told, how did me and my wife choose this church? We probably never would until the Cartwrights extended it to us. And we felt the love. I told a story with Brother Barnhouse. He never got on me. I was probably one of the wicked sinners that you know of, smoking and all, drinking, cussing, everything. He never said one word to me. I just knew he loved me, unconditional. He invited me and my family to his house, and he spent time with me. He never looked down at me. What? How was that bond? And those of y'all who know Brother Barnhouse, why, brother? And there's some things he can do, and you just scratch his head, your head, and you're like, man, who thought of that? But it showed me love and compassion and caring, what a church should be. He didn't care. He could run into you in Walmart. He's going to hug you. Hey, brother. And he was so loud, everybody could hear him. He didn't care. How are you going to be when God calls you, hey, Don, are you going to go, hey, that's God? No. You're going to run. Your feet can't keep up with you. Why are we holding back now? What's the worst thing can happen to you? The worst thing can happen, we say, oh, we die. Well, guess what? Hey, it's going to put me there faster. That's going to buy me that new pair of sneakers where I can get there. Why are we afraid? Why are Christians, we've got our head down in the sand. We're not defeated. God is on the throne. We need to be running, yelling, screaming. It's the love. Stop and think. Those of y'all who have had loved ones that have passed on, how much would you give to have them back? Anything. But guess what? There's a way you can get there. Give more love. Be an outward testimony. An ownership testimony. Who owns us? You remember Toy Story. What did Andy do to Buzz's feet? He wrote Andy. Guess what? God did the same for you. What is in you? The Holy Spirit. He wrote His name in you to prove to everybody you're mine. When you think about that, why don't we show it? How many people, when it comes time for the Super Bowl, they'll go out and spend all this money on shirts, pants, attire? They're willing to spend all that worthless money, especially those that like the Steelers, I'm just saying. But when you stop and you think, they'll spend all that money for something to hold you here on earth? Really? If you took all that money that we put in the NBA, NFL, NHL, racing, and we put it to good use instead of a bunch of people who are arrogant, self-centered, that won't stand for a flag. And not just that flag, they won't stand for that. You can look at them and tell. If we took that money and we used it for good, whew, we've got things so wrong. But are we willing to stand out and be different? It's easy to come in church and not cuss and dress respectfully. We would never want our kids around that. But yet, why do we tolerate it when we go to Walmart and here's the guy around the corner raising his voice, talking stupid, half-dressed? If we don't approve it now, why are we approving it then? Why? As I told you a story, I was coming to church here and I would smoke. Why was it important for that person to tell me, hey, smoking is wrong? And I believe I told you, I told Stacy, come tomorrow, it's me and him. And I meant every word of it. I weren't playing. Why did he risk that? Because first of all, he knows he's going to give accountability to our God who's on the throne, who's alive. At the second point, he wanted me to be with him. What happens if you make a stand in Walmart and you tell them, I'm a Christian, I'm offended by that language? You know how many people will back down and go, hey, I didn't ever know. You would be amazed. If not, what's the worst thing can happen? I get that new pair of tennis shoes. It's just like driving the bus. There's a lot of times driving on Van Ministry. It gets very interesting, doesn't it, Nurse Jesse? You never know how much you affect somebody by showing them that God loves you and you love God. Are you willing to sacrifice? Do you really want the ownership of God? If you do, how can you hide it? How can you deny it? You can't. He gave everything. He went to that cross for you. I challenge you this week. Look around you to spend time and love someone who is equal to you. That's ordinary, right? To go and help somebody, we sometimes get along. That's one thing. How about to go and help someone who doesn't like you? That's extraordinary. That's what he did when he went to that cross for us. He did something very extraordinary. How much will you feel love when you give love? God said, for what you do in my name. But why are we trying to hold back? I challenge y'all this week to step out of your comfort zone. See and let people know how much God has done for you. You never know how you may save someone else. Right now, people, they're sore shaken. But how does it make you feel when they see that rock to hang on to? How solid can you make some of our young ladies in this church feel? I look at the elderly people in the church. They've been through a lot. How many Jews were killed in the Holocaust? A ton. But guess what? You survived, didn't you? That was only 70 years ago. We'll go ahead and close in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time that we can just come into your house. We thank you for all the many blessings that you've given us, dear Heavenly Father. Just please cleanse our hearts and our minds that we are naive and we haven't understood how much you have done for us, what you have brought us through, and how you've planned our lives, dear Heavenly Father. Just please be with the all the different ministries that are going out forth in your name, dear Heavenly Father. Just please put a hedge of protection around this church, this sanctuary, that Satan may not enter in, tempt, or toss. In Jesus' name, amen.